Luke chapter 5, a few minutes, we're going to read some verses from here. And we're going to stop where God wants us to. We're going to see what the Spirit of the Lord has for us for tonight. Evangelism is very important. We want to see how Jesus evangelized. You want to copy Jesus? That's the best way to go. You want to follow Jesus? That's the best way to go. He has to be your hero. He is my hero, my lifetime hero, now and forever. He's the only one I copy, and he is the one I hang out with. He is the one I live for, and he's the one I will live with now and evermore. He's my passion. He's my strength. He's everything. When we understand that he is my all in all, apart from him, I can do nothing. When we understand that everything that he has invested in us, that we have to give an account to him, we cannot be boastful of anything. We cannot do our own thing with what he has given. I'm very careful with the anointing of God God has placed on my life. I can't please anyone. I will not please anyone. Jesus didn't please everyone. When he gave the truth and all the people left him, he turned around and he looked at his disciples and he said, "Do you guys want to leave me too?" The disciples said, "No, Lord. Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life." He did the will of the Father. At one point, when he did the will of the Father, most of the crowd, pretty much all of them left except for his disciples. He knew that. He knew they were going to leave. He knew why they were there for. He gave them what they needed to hear. Was he able to keep them all there? No. He kept his disciples, whom the Father gave, except for the son of perdition. They all here have kept all of them. You know why? Because he saw what the Father did. He spoke what he heard the Father speak. That bond and that relationship with Jesus Christ is essential. If we don't have that, we are wasting our time. If we live for this world, then we are the most miserable people. Most miserable people, because the word of God says, even the animals know when a disaster is about to strike. But my people, they perish because they choose not to listen to wisdom. Because they choose not to obey the call of God, the warning, when the warning comes from heaven. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 onwards. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. I want to stop right here. I'm going to go back to verse 1. So it was as the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God. They all came to hear the word of God over here, not just to see the miracles. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, the word of God. So it was not like, oh, he's a good storyteller, so I'm here because I just want to hear some stories and, you know, wow, Jesus looks kind of cute and I want to just see him and he's doing a lot of these miracles and I want to just be there and we have time in our hands and so let's hang out by the lake and let's just, you know, get some cool breeze and just go. No. They came intentionally to hear the word of God. Something was going on deep within them. Every time Jesus spoke, that word was doing something inside of them. However, depends on how your heart is. If your heart is like a thorny soil full of briars, then what's going to happen is initially you rejoice and then after that, because you did not take heed, you did not tend to your garden, you did not check your heart, the work that God is doing all of a sudden begins to dwindle and it dies. Other things were there before and it was never uprooted. Many people are like that. They come to church, God heals and God does things. And you know what? The old bitterness is still there. The old anger is still there. The old me-centeredness is still there. All about me is still there. All those things are still there. So they rejoice for a short time. And after that, what happens? The weeds and the thorns, they grow so much. And it chokes whatever God has done in their lives. So, a lot of people come to hear the word. It depends on how their heart is. The hearts of people who are yielded to God are the disciples. They're the ones who would leave everything and follow. Who are true disciples? Oh, if you cannot forsake all, you cannot be my disciple, my Jesus said. If you cannot forsake all, you cannot be my disciple, Jesus said. I want to repeat. If you cannot forsake all, 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 you cannot be his disciple. Not nice to hear, isn't it? You want to hear something like, oh, all of you, you're all my disciples. As long as you say, oh, I love Jesus. Jesus is Lord. I know he died on the cross. I am a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. No, no. You can say whatever you want to. The word that Jesus spoke will judge us on the last day. If you cannot forsake all, if you cannot forsake your ego, if you cannot forsake your pride, if you cannot forsake your sin, if you cannot forsake your idol, if you cannot forsake all, you cannot be his disciple. If Jesus is not number one, you know, a lot of people say, oh, he's my number one. Just because I got up in the morning, read and pray, is he my number one? In every thought, in every word, in all your intention, in all your transaction, how true are you? How true are you? Is he really your Lord? Is he your first love? Are you putting him above everything? Answer that for yourself. It's better to tell the truth and say, Jesus is not Lord over my life. I need to fix this. Than to say, oh, he's my Lord. He's always my Lord. He's always been my Lord. He will always be my Lord. God will say, oh, be quiet. Like Samuel told Saul, be quiet. I'll tell you what really happened. I'll tell you how your heart is. That's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying right now. Be honest with yourself. The first step is honesty. God is speaking to your hearts today. These are not my words. God is speaking to your hearts today. Be real. Be real. If you want to live for Jesus, be real. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. If you're not real, you're wasting your time. Because everybody who is not real are going to end up in the same place. So why play games? Why pretend to be a Christian and end up in hell? Why? Either be hot or cold. As Elijah said, the prophet, why are you between two opinions? If God is the Lord, follow him. If Baal is the Lord, follow him. Don't waste your time. Don't waste another minute. Today is the day. Decide for yourself. What did Jesus do here? The multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God. That he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. His eyes were not on the multitude. He was going to teach, but there was something more that he was going to do. There was something more that he was going to do. Jesus had heaven's agenda reigning over his life. He knew what he was going to do. He came there. The people were all there. Lots of people were there. But he was going to do something. While he was going to do something, he had someone in his mind. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. He came with a plan. The people all came. They had no idea what Jesus was going to do. They all came. I want to hear the word. You know how people are? They'll come and say, oh, good preaching, good miracles. Oh, our pastor is a pastor from God. One moment, next moment, if they can, they will stone you to death. That's how people are. So open to demonic spirits. So Jesus never committed himself to any of these people. Not even to his disciples. He committed himself to no man, the Bible says. That's the best way to live. To look to God. We are on a mission here. What heaven says, we do. We follow his orders. He is the boss. He tells us what to do. We say, yes, Lord, and we do it. That's how it is supposed to be, not any other way. There's no negotiation here if you want to really be his right-hand man or his right-hand woman. You can bargain, you can talk, you can negotiate, but you know what? God will know you and he'll put you far away. He's looking for those whose hearts are loyal towards him, those who will obey him with everything that is within themselves. There are people who say, oh, but Lord, I don't want it. But Lord, Lot did that, right? When the angel of the Lord said, come on, let's go here. Oh, no, 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 I will stay here. He negotiated and he got what he wanted. But you know what? He was not God's man. Abraham was. He was not God's friend. No. No. Those who look for the perfect will of God will be God's right-hand people, where God will be able to depend on them. And God will say, you know what? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do today. Those are his friends, exclusive. Like the three people he always took with him on the inside. And out of the three, one got to lean on Jesus. Oh, Jesus is playing favoritism. Lucifer will speak like that in a church, into the hearts of the people. Oh, he's playing favoritism. He's letting only John to lean on him. He's only taking three on to specific meetings. Evil spirits work through people. They have no concept of what God is doing. They don't care about what God is doing. They don't care about how Jesus was working. They don't care about anything. So what will their mind say, being used by Lucifer? Oh, Jesus is being very partial. He's picking only three. Why can't he take all 12 with him? What's wrong? Why can't he take? Well, how are we not so special? What is so special about John over there? Well, you need to ask Jesus that. He will tell you a whole bunch of things that's special about John. Understand, Jesus sees the heart of every single person. Let's continue to read. All these multitudes were there. But even though he came over there, he did not primarily come for those multitudes on that day. He had heaven's agenda. It was for someone. Now he came here and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. I want to stop right here. And I want to talk about this as the Holy Spirit wants me to. Two boats were there. Out of those two boats, he specifically chose Simon's boat, not the other boat. That's how God works. If you call God partial, you bear the guilt. Jesus knows the end from the beginning. He knows who is worthy of his time. He knows who is worthy of his use. He knows who is worthy. He knows who is going to respond to the call. Did all the people in the land of the Chaldeans say, oh, God is partial. He only came to Abraham and he came to Abraham and he took Abraham and he called Abraham. Wish he called us, we too would have responded. No, God very well knew that the rest of the people were not worthy. They would not have responded. He sees the end from the beginning. Out of these two boats, Jesus picked one. Jesus will always pick one over the other. Always remember. If someone says, oh, he sees all the boats the same. No, he doesn't. Because he sees the hearts of people. He sees the quality there. He never did that from the beginning, did he? He saw two sacrifices. He accepted one. He rejected the other. Why, was he partial? No. Because one gave an acceptable offering and the other one did not. Plain and simple. God looks at all of us over here and he knows every heart that's here. And he picks whom he wants to pick. He appoints whom he wants to appoint. Not because someone looks prettier than other, no. Not because someone has more money. Or not because, oh, someone is poor, I want the poorest of the poor. No. He's looking for those whose hearts are loyal towards him. He's looking for whose heart will have faith and who will obey. You will know why he did what he did here. There were people who came to Jesus and said, I want to follow. And Jesus said, you can't follow me. And you know what? They didn't press in after that. You know that already. They just went home, right? Thank God he didn't call me. There were some people when Jesus called, like the rich young ruler, they said, oh, I'm not coming. I'm going home. But you look at Peter, the moment he called, he left everything and followed Jesus. That's why. He saw two boards and he picked only one out of the two. You want to be one of those boats that Jesus would pick? Do you want to be one of those boats that Jesus would pick? Then you have to be a person that would be available for Jesus Christ by truly surrendering yourself to Jesus. Now, both were available. But when it comes to the hearts of the owners of the boat, Jesus saw Peter was worthy. He knew that he had faith in his heart. He knew that whatever I'm going to tell Peter is going to, he's going to obey. So he said, I'm going to spend my time on this man and I'm going to do a miracle for him so that he can believe in me and I can bring him to myself. All of these people saw miracles. But Jesus took the time for Peter to go with Peter that night instead of going home and sleeping after tired. A whole day of work. After being so tired, Jesus chose not to go home and sleep. But he chose to go with Peter, take him and give him what he didn't have. Made him happy and show him what he can do for him in order to give him something far superior. Let me tell you that. He did all those things in order to give him something far superior. You know what that was? The honor of him becoming the disciple of Jesus Christ. And in order for him to get that honor, he had to forsake everything to follow Jesus. He had to forsake everything to follow Jesus. Two boats were there. Jesus picked one. If God comes and looks at all of us here, my heart's desire is that he would pick all of you. He would use all of you. He would call all of you. And he would show his miracles to all of you. And he would draft you into his great and glorious service. All of you. Are you worthy of it? Do you have the quality that God is looking for, which is loyalty, sincerity? Don't simply say that, oh, you know what? God calls everybody. God loves everybody. God will come to everybody. No, he will not. He only went to one man called Abraham. Yes. Yes. He went to one child called Samuel. Yes. Absolutely yes. He bypassed everybody in the land of Israel and went to that child, Samuel. Yes, he did. He bypassed everyone and went to that one young man. One child in that house, in Jacob's house, was Joseph. He saw these two boats and he picked one out of the two. Oh, what an honor for that boat. I wish I could just see that boat. Only we cannot see these things. Talk and laugh and smile. Everything Jesus touches vibrates. Such joy would have had. This boat would have had such joy. Would have said, oh my God, I can't believe that the King of the universe is sitting on my boat. He's sitting in my boat. He's sitting on me. He's using me. It's because it was Peter's boat. Not because it had a very special kind of wood. It's not because it looked fancy looking, no. Because it was Peter's boat. Yes, Peter was an unworthy man because of his past. However, Peter had one quality God was looking for because Peter's life was like that because he didn't know Jesus. He was a sinful fisherman. But when Jesus came to him, everything changed, everything changed, everything changed. The moment he left everything, he made his choice though. He could have just said, oh no, Lord Jesus, I have a wife, I have kids, I have this, I have that, I have this business, and you know, my family depends on me and I cannot do any of these things. And he could have said all of those things, but he was not a man of excuses. Yes. God is speaking to your hearts today. God is never going to use people who are full of excuses. Nope, he will not. What are you willing to give up in exchange for the great and glorious things God has for you. Two boats Jesus saw. Two boats Jesus saw. He picked one over the other. We'll always pick one over the other. Always. The rest of the boats can get upset. Let it get upset. The rest of the people, the fishermen, they can get upset. Let them get upset. It's not a concern for Jesus. For Jesus, his goal is, I need to get this man. He has what I'm looking for. Yes, he has a past. Yes, he has a present. But I'm here to change his future. Jesus came and stood before him. And he didn't go and stand there and preach a big salvation message, no. He didn't go and say, okay, let me come here and tell you your past and look how ugly your past is and how ugly your present is, and you don't hear any of those things. He went to him and he met him at his lowest point, where all night he tried to catch fish, but he couldn't. You know why? Because heaven was working. When God wants to catch a person, he will do all kinds of things. He will stop everything, block everything for that person to make that person come to a point where, and when God steps in, they'll be ready for God's work in them. Now, there are people who hit rock bottom and still they will curse God at that point. This is not for them. God will not waste his time on those people. God sometimes blocks everything, knocks out everything, and corners a person so that he can reveal his glory to that person. That's what God did for Peter. He took that boat and he sat and he preached for some more time. And Peter was already tired. All night he fished, and he was fishing and he couldn't catch anything. And now Jesus is talking, and we don't know how long he preached, and after that he would have prayed, and he would have prayed for a lot of sick people and gotten late. And but you know what? There's something about Jesus Christ. Where he is, heaven was there. Peter's watching all of these things. By the time he watched all of these things, he knew that Jesus is not an ordinary man. There's something about him. That's why when he said, launch out into the deep, he didn't ask any question, because he was already witnessing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, that is why he actually sat and taught the people. He sat and he preached and he taught the people so that Peter's faith can go up. Look what he's doing for that one man, because that was a very important man for Jesus. This man who Jesus caught on this day was the very man whom he used after the Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts to bring 3,000 people in one day to the kingdom of God. When Jesus does something, he always does it intentionally. So he sits there and he preaches, and he's preaching to the people. And Peter's faith is growing. He's watching. I like the message. He's doing all these things. His faith is growing. He can't say no to this man. I mean, there are a lot of people who said no to Jesus, like the rich young ruler. Peter, his heart was genuine. Even though he had a past and he had a present, his future was going to drastically change because of the love of Jesus Christ. Because of the faith that Peter placed in Jesus when he said, come Peter, launch out in the deep. And with all the tiredness Jesus had, for that one man, after preaching and praying for all the people, he goes with him. What? To get fish for him? I mean, his preaching was not enough for Peter? To just tell him, Peter, follow me? No. He had to do more. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, had to do more for Peter. But he had to do only one time. That was enough for him. So in order for Peter to get the revelation that he was a sinner, Jesus had to do more. He taught, he preached, he prayed. It built faith in Peter. For Peter to go from one level to the other, that means from giving his boat to Jesus to going with Jesus Christ to the middle of the sea. God sometimes works in stages. He knows the hearts of men, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He's following heaven's plan. What a glorious Savior we have. That's how we should be. He didn't go after the whole crowd. No. He didn't do that. He knew they all came to hear the word, but you know what? He knew that they are not going to be his followers. They're not going to follow. They'll just come and temporarily hear and go. They are not loyal people in their hearts to Jesus Christ. But he knew Peter will be such a person. And he invested his time, his energy, his everything in that one man. Are you willing to be that person for Jesus to invest everything into you? If you need to be that, if you want him to be that way, then you need to be the same way to him. Jesus knew when he invests everything in him, Peter would be one such person who will forsake everything and follow Jesus. Peter made a huge investment. But the gain that Peter would get will be, cannot be compared. There's no comparison. But Jesus making his investment in Peter, Jesus could do without Peter, but it's the love of God. He saw Peter, and there's heaven's agenda in the Great Commission, where once Jesus goes, the people that he's training, or he's going to train, will be doing what he did. Hands and feet, and do the greater works. In order for that to take place, Jesus invested everything into Peter that day. Our God works by his calendar. I never say that, oh, I preached and I'm going. His whole preaching was for one man. His whole going to the ocean was for that one man. And his whole approach to Peter was knowing his past. In order to get him to a place of surrender, for him to face himself, he would have never, ever even thought in his mind that he was a sinner, because he talked the same fisherman talk, the same lifestyle he lived, everybody together, all the people who were there, they all lived the same way. Their lifestyle was like that. Their culture was like that. But when the God of holiness stood before him and did that miracle, something happened in him. He had a revelation from God that he was a sinful man. The Spirit of God touched his heart when he did the miracle. Miracles of God does wonders in everyone's life. But you know what? It depends on who will receive and who will not. When Jesus did this miracle to Peter, his heart opened up to receive the revelation of God that he was a sinner. A sinful man. He saw his condition the way God saw. And received the forgiveness from God and became a disciple of God. Not only did he receive the forgiveness, but he received the call of God. And he became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He forsake everything. Peter, once he left everything, his heart was to go wherever Jesus went, to do whatever Jesus said. Jesus was able to trust him more than the other people. Peter was one of the three that he took with him all the time. Understand this. God chooses based on your loyalty towards him. If you want to really be a co-laborer in the vineyard of the Lord, to really have effective evangelism, you need to be wholly available to Jesus. H-O-L-Y-N-W-H-O-L-L-Y. You need to be wholly available to Jesus. When I understand that, I must be wholly available to God. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Thoroughly, totally available to God. Every part of me, my mind, my heart, my body, my spirit, my soul, everything must be surrendered to God as a H-O-L-Y sacrifice to God. See, if I am not consecrated to God, that means the tongue has to be pure. Eyes must be pure. Heart must be pure. Hands must be pure. Feet must be pure. Total surrender to God. That means go where Jesus, go sit where Jesus sits. Do what he tells you to do. And not be impulsive and driven by your own passion. And whatever your mind says, you want to just do it because you want everyone's approval and you want to be a hero or a heroine in front of other people. Such people really cannot serve God. You can do your own thing for Jesus, but will he approve of it? That's a big question. Two boats Jesus saw. He picked one. He picked one, and it was Simon's boat. He picked that boat because it was Simon's boat. Understand that. Jesus should be able to choose you. Should be able to come with you to your house. Should be able to live with you in your house. Should be able to go with you where you go. Should be able to be next to you when you're on the phone conversations. Should be able to go with you when you go to the store. Should be able to be with you when you talk to other people. Should be able to be with you when you're eating. Do you have that understanding? When we say, oh Lord, he's always with me. We need to say that with joy and with fear and trembling. Knowing that he's watching, he's with us. If he's really with us. We need to really treat him. Treat him with reverence. Treat him with great reverence. Treat him with great honor. Treat him with great honor. There's a reason why I'm repeating it twice. And the Spirit of the Lord wants me to drive this deep into your spirit. When you surrender yourself wholly to the Lord, he will take every part of your surrender. You'll turn it into something glorious. Every part that you withhold from God, you will have nothing to do with it. We need to be people who would say, Lord, I want to be holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Offer myself to you today. When you pass by me, I don't want you to pass by me, Lord. I want you to stop. When you pass by me, I don't want you to pass by me and go to the next person, Lord. I want you to stop by me. I want you to sit with me. I want you to talk to me. I want you to live with me. I want you to go with me. I want to go with you. Where he leads, I will follow. And when I follow, he goes with me. I'm going to leave with you this thought that the Spirit of the Lord has brought to us this night. There were two boats there. Jesus picked one. Which one are you? Shall we close our eyes and look to the Lord?